All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Any Three Things podcast. This is Father Ambrose, and with me today I have Taryn, who is our secretary at St. Bridget. That's not the summary of your job titles, though. You do a lot of things. Do you actually have a job title?
I think it's parish secretary.
Parish secretary, but like also for more than just St. Bridget? Like, I feel like I ask you questions about other parishes that you don't even work at, and you always know the answers.
I guess St. Augustine and St. Paul as well. I would like to be a little bit more involved with those two. But yeah, I do a little bit for them too.
Yeah, and it's funny how it works in that kind of way, right? Because we got six different parishes, and if you go to any parish, there's like this one person who knows everything. And like Julie, Mary Help of Christians, right? Who is wonderful. She's been on this podcast before. You here at St. Bridget. I was like, Taryn, how do I get in touch with extraordinary ministers at St. Bridget? And you know everyone and you know how to email them. And it's crazy. Like, how do you actually know all of these people? It's great. But it's funny then, because you then, right, so something comes up, but it's like, oh, hey, we need to tell all of our extraordinary ministers across six parishes this thing. And you can't just do that. There's, like, not one button that does this. I have to send an email to, like, six different people who then, mm-hmm. right? And so your position here is one of those people. How does that work out? How does that play out?
So if I don't know who, you know, specifically Eucharistic minister, who to contact, I can, I know who will know that person. So like if it's St. Bridget, I can reach out to them. If it's St. Paul, I know the contact person, but I can also reach out to them. St. Augustine, same thing. Carol Smith, I just, you know, say, here's what you need to share, the information. And then the secretaries elsewhere or, you know, whoever takes care of the extraordinary ministers, servers, lectors, I usually can figure out who to contact.
It's funny, like, because one of the things about Beacons of Light is like, oh, we should work on our communication. We've got all of these, like, six different things. We need to, and then it's just like, it's all so complicated.
It can be, because you think it's going to simplify things, but then you just realize how complicated it is. Instead of contacting this one person, now we've got to make sure that we don't miss someone along the way, that they don't know what's going on.
There's a lot of that. Let not the right hand know what the left is doing, is what our Lord says in the Gospels. And of course, he's speaking about doing charitable works. Like, okay, there's these, the Pharisees go out and they want to make sure everyone sees them giving money to the poor. But you give to the poor so secretly that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. And this is certainly the motto of the Catholic Church. Let not the left hand know what your right hand is doing in terms of making everything work. It's silly. But so what, like, normal day as a secretary, what stuff is going on?
Normal day, there's always phone calls, interruptions, people coming in. So if I'm working on a particular project, it usually gets interrupted, and which is fine.
In a certain sense, those interruptions are the job.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, your job is to be interrupted.
Yes, it is. And it's kind of like being a mom. You can never complete a task. You can never complete a conversation. So it's just incorporated.
Hopefully we get to complete this one.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, which you also know some things about being a mom.
Yes, I do.
Got some kids as well in the school here.
I do.
So you're connected to all of those things as well.
Yes.
Which, like, it's funny because then, like, oh, I don't have any other than doing school masses and occasionally getting asked questions. I feel like I'm not very connected to the school. I have no clue what's going on in there. But you see, there's another place where you know everything.
Oh, I don't know if I know about everything, but
it's good. Yeah, the interruptions are part of the job.
Yes.
It's funny. Yeah, there's I'm not going to remember who says this. Oh, no, I do remember. It's St. Vincent de Paul in the reading for Office of Readings for his feast day. Talks about how if you're distracted by needing to serve the poor while you're at prayer, you're not being distracted from prayer. You're leaving the service of Christ in prayer to go serve Christ in the poor.
Yes.
And I think it's a similar sort of thing. You're leaving the work of the parish to get this project done, to go and serve the parish by talking to this parishioner.
Yes,
it's all exactly of a piece, even though it feels very scattered.
Yes, and I have to remind myself of that sometimes, because I'll get really focused on doing something, and then I'm like, okay, I gotta, you know, pause this for a minute and go do what, you know, God's calling me to do next at that moment.
Which is always, it's because that feeling of scatteredness is difficult to deal with, I think.
Yes. Yes, it can. Especially when you go back to it and you're like, oh, where was I? What was I doing? And then sometimes I can mess up because, or I lose the train of thought or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel that way coming back to parish work from PhD classes. Like, I don't know where I was with that annulment paperwork. I have no clue what I was doing. I was just talking about the history of studying history in the 18th century. I have no clue.
Yes, you have to refocus, move tracks, I guess.
And it's a particular skill set, and it's something that we definitely need the Lord's grace to help with. And also, you also tend to go to morning mass as well.
Yes.
Before you come, which I think is really good. It's because we need that grace to be able to turn from these things so quickly, to be available, to be able to trust Jesus is with me while I'm going through all of this crazy stuff that happens during my day. It's one thing that's really important to us. And across all six of our parishes, well, I guess not really St. Augustine because I don't have a daily mass, but even then, if they wanted to come up to St. Bridget for mass, right, like, it is part of our employees' jobs to be spiritually present to our Lord, to receive the graces that he wants to give them, so that this job cannot just be a job. It's part of the work of the parish in so many ways, and we need the grace of Christ because this isn't our work, it's his work. And so many of our employees do go to daily mass, and you might think, oh, shouldn't they be in the office doing something else? But no, they're exactly where they need to be, getting the grace that they need from our Lord. And so if someone doesn't answer the phone when it's mass time, don't get upset that the employees are talking to Jesus, because they need that in order to go and to serve you well.
And it is, to start the day like that, it's really a nice, it can help, you know, focus. And then, because as soon as you come back over, you know, you hit the ground running. It's transitioning into nice, calm peace to, okay, what do I need to be doing right now?
There's a story about Mother Teresa. She was St. Teresa of Calcutta, I guess. I should use the right, whatever. Anyway, story that she was talking to a priest who was asking her for advice on things. And she asked him, well, are you doing a holy hour in the morning to pray? And he was like, well, no, I'm so busy. I've got all these things to do. I can't get everything done. And she said, nothing you're doing is more important than that time of prayer, because Jesus is going to get more done if you trust him with that hour than you can do in an infinite number of hours.
And I absolutely agree with that, because there are times when I've got a whole list of things that I want to get done. And I'm like, okay, if I don't go to mass this morning, I can get this done. And I know I will regret it. If I go, the Lord will help me work everything out through the rest of the day. But if I don't, then there's going to be all these obstacles and I'm not going to get anything done. And so but there is that temptation sometimes.
Yeah. And it's something that, like, St. Augustine says in one of his homilies, he's talking about Mary and Martha, right? And Martha's doing good work, right? It's not like Martha is ignoring Jesus or doing something bad. She's serving the Lord by making dinner for him, mm-hmm. which he needed to eat. He was a human being. He needed food. But there's going to come a time when we don't need that anymore. In heaven, no one's going to have to work. We'll just have what Mary had, which is to sit at the feet of the Lord to contemplate his goodness, and he will fill us instead of us needing to fill him.
Yes.
And so we do all of this work, but we need to do work with a view towards someday we're going to be at rest. And so that time every day to be at rest with the Lord in prayer, which, it's so good that we have an environment here in our parishes where our parishioners, our employees can come and pray together and experience that rest together in daily mass. A little bit of work for the priest, but even I get to experience it as a moment of prayer too. We priests also need to pray during the mass. And it becomes this, all right, it refocuses everything that this is Jesus giving us himself, which is great.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it also helps me stay connected with our parishioners, because when they see me, or, you know, it's like they always have something to say, something to give me, something,
yep.
you know, it's just an easy way to, hey, I'm here in the flesh. If you've got something to ask me, tell me, give me to take to the office here. They know they'll, you know, see me and they can just give it to me then.
Yep. It's good. It's good to be close, to be available to see everyone.
Yeah.
And speaking of being close and available to everyone, and priests also praying but working during masses, you are the employee whose job it is to tell priests where they're supposed to be, and specifically to make the mass schedule. What is that like?
Oh, that's That's exciting, I guess I could say. That is a ongoing process. It takes more than a month to put a month together. So I usually try to start it pretty early. I'll send a feeler out to the priest, or they usually just contact me. Hey, this is when I can't do this. And then I try to put it all together to make it work.
And it seems like every month is different. Like, there's not just some template you plug names in, because, like, so for instance, right now, I think Father Beadle's on retreat as we're recording this.
Yes.
And Father Blenman just got back from some vacation time.
Yes.
And so, okay, so there's two priests who aren't there, so we need to, the whatever Father Beadle was normally going to be doing, now Father Ambrose or Father Halloran has to do.
Yes.
And, well, that means that he's not here, which then we need some, right, and it's like this whole messy, complicated...
It is very messy, and you would think that it would be easy. Father Beadle and Father Blenman did kind of put together for me like a, at the first of the month, this priest is at this parish. At the second of the month, this priest is at this parish. And it usually, that's kind of what I go off of, but it doesn't work. So yes. I put it together and then I move everybody around. And there's usually there is a reason for the madness. Like when you look at the schedule and you're like, this makes no sense, but it's because I have all these notes and then I move all these things around. And, you know, if a priest goes on vacation or if a priest is, they have a meeting that they can't do this particular mass or your class, you know, there's all these factors that go into this. So it's never a copy and paste. Okay, we're just going to do the same thing as next. It's always different, always changing.
Yeah, like my classes at the University of Dayton start at 9 a.m. And so we only have one morning mass that gets done in time for that, namely at St. Bridget. And so then I have to drive out to St. Bridget, say an 8 a.m. mass, and like zip. I do not have time to do whatever it is you wanted me to do after mass, which like you said, that's like a great time. Like, oh, hey, Father's here. I'm going to, but no, I can't. If I don't leave right now, I'm going to be late.
Yes.
And that then, because now that means if I have to be there on Tuesdays. And so that means some other priest has to be somewhere else where I was normally going to be on Tuesdays.
Right.
And it becomes this whole dependent chain of problems.
And if you get in, a priest cannot get into the rhythm of being somewhere on this particular day because it's ever changing.
It is. And so I had to upgrade. Normally I was just able to, before I started the doctorate, I was able to keep where I was supposed to be for about a week in my head at a time. But then once I had also start remembering my homework, I didn't have that space in my brain anymore. And now I had to go in with a highlighter and actually highlight my masses so that I would remember, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be.
Yes, because we're creatures of habit, and you can't, with all you priests moving around and trying to get everyone, you know, on the weekends at least, in a rotating pattern. Yeah, there's no room there for our creatures of habit.
And so speaking of habits and where priests are going to be, some parishioners have asked why we don't publish which priests are going to have which masses. I know some of the other families of parishes close to us do publish that information, but our wonderful, venerable, and very holy pastor has decided that that's not what we're going to do.
Yes, that is correct.
What do you think about that?
I think it's okay. If, you know, I know that Father Beadle said, you know, when we're coming to Mass, we're coming to encounter Christ. So it does make sense, but I do know that people, you know, tend to lean more toward a certain priest. So I know that they want to, you know, maybe follow that priest. But I do get what he's saying. And it is also nice when we go to different, you know, if we don't go to St. Bridget, we go to somewhere else. It is nice to have the same, you know, priest, like as far as just the rotating, getting to know all of them. So it is nice. You can go to any parish, in our family and you will know who the priest is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, I think it is important. So the reason we go to Mass is not for the priest, it's for Jesus. And so that's Father Beadle's motivation for that rule, that he doesn't want, of the five that we have, this is my favorite one, so I'm going to go follow him around. I don't know how feasible that is, because no one from Jamestown is driving to Sacred Heart.
That is true.
For my Mass. Like, I don't care how much, I would not ever do that. That is so far. I have to drive from Jamestown to Sacred Heart this weekend. It's an 100-mile round trip for Sundays.
That's a lot. Well, and I think it has been a challenge for our parishioners to learn who you guys are, because a lot of times they'll say, who said mass here? You know, they had, you know, try to describe them. So it's been helpful, I think, that Jason has put the pictures of each of you in there. So that way, if they're not sure who the priest is, okay, you can look and, you know, see who that one is.
And also, which is funny, it's hard. It's like, oh, wait, this is my bulletin. Is that the one or is that the other bald one? But also, I think we've been adding an announcement at the beginning of the masses at some of our churches. It's difficult because that's not convenient at all of our churches. That's easy to do at St. Luke, where they were already making an announcement.
Yes.
Or Mary Help, where they were already making an announcement before Mass. But at St. Bridget, where they don't make such an announcement, how do you add an announcement without it being weird? Right?
Yeah.
And then, but I, again, like, it's always about Jesus. The priest is, and it's something that we talk very a lot about in seminary formation, is the priest is never the goal in himself. He's supposed to be a bridge to Christ and not an obstacle between people and Christ. And so a lot of times I'm like, you shouldn't care about me. You shouldn't want, like, my specific ideas. No, you should want Jesus. And if you are like, oh, it's not this priest, it's that priest, right? Like, that's something that I think, in a sense, all of us need to die to. But it's tough, you know, especially since at some of our parishes, like, it was just one priest for a long, long time. And so you got to develop this very good, trusting relationship. And then when it's not the same priest every time, it's more difficult. And God does desire to use each of our priests as an avenue for people to get close to Christ. And on the other hand, though, I do think that having the mix of priests is a benefit, right? Because not everyone is going to like me. Sometimes I don't like me. but maybe, okay, Father Ambrose's way of talking is too long-winded and boring. He preaches too long. But Father Mike does great, and he's really funny, and he always says stuff in a way that I can understand, right? Or, you know, whatever you think about any of us. Oh, I don't like this one, but I like that one, right? Now there's a wider opportunity, and it's just always going to be the way that it is. There's some people who are not going to connect as much with me, but they'll connect with Father Blundman. They won't connect with Father Lee. They'll connect with Father Beadle, right? And so then there's more avenues for more people to find at least one priest that they like out of the five. And it's been that way, too. Like, families that I've gotten to know and get really close to at various parishes, but there are other families that other priests have gotten to know. And so even if every family at a parish doesn't get to know the one priest, at least everyone who wants to has at least one priest that they can get, that feel like they can get close to. And so it's been different, but it's been working out, I think.
And I think it's an adjustment for the parishioners just as much as it's an adjustment for you priests too. Cause not knowing where you're, you know, where you're ever going to end up and not a place to call home, you know, you wander and we'll all get used to it eventually.
I think so. And I also think that as this process continues, that the, like, oh, it's, he's at my parish, he's at someone else's parish, is going to go away a little bit. I think that, oh, these are our people everywhere. And as we continue to do stuff together, and as, right, all of these decisions, right? So there's one person, Taryn, sitting next to me right now, who makes the decisions about where all of the priests are going and takes all of the information and covers everything. And, oh, there's an extra mass here. Oh, there's an extra this there. Like, since that's all coming through one place, that's a point of unity. That's a point of bringing stuff together.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, well, we'll figure it all out over time.
Yep.
So, let's see. We need one more thing to talk about. And I said we were just going to figure it out live. And so here we are, figuring it out live. We have just finished the Christmas season. Christmas season ended with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord on Monday, and now we are back into ordinary time.
Yes.
And, of course, ordinary time in the Catholic Church doesn't mean ordinary in the sense of, like, normal or humdrum or boring. It comes from ordinal numbers, right? So first, second, third tell you the order of things. And so we're in the first week, and then we'll be in the second week, right? So it gives an order to time, if you will. And so we were just talking about sort of an order of time where priests are going to be. We see that also in the church year, as we have an ordered series of, like, I don't know, 6 weeks or whatever it is before Lent gets here. All of this to lead into what are some things that are going on in this brief period between Christmas and Lent in St. Bridget? We've got a little bit of ordered time left before it gets crazy again.
Yes, yes, exactly. We're just preparing, you know, thinking a lot about Easter Vigil, I know Spencer's already thinking about, you know, unifying us and making sure we all have the same, you know, devotions in the lobbies, the church lobbies for the, you know, people to pick up. We're using the Magnificat. And so we're just preparing, you know, for this is a calm before the storm, basically. Yeah.
There's a lot of scheduling that goes on. I know Father Blenman came to our priest meeting a week or two ago, and he's like, all right, here, put this on your calendar. We're going to be hearing confessions here, confessions here, confessions here.
Yes. And then unifying all the stations, you know, trying to, you know, where all of our stations going to be, you know, for our parishes, and just getting ready for all of that.
It's so much. It comes so quickly. And then, of course, you get into Lent, and it feels like Lent is long, except when it's short and all of a sudden it's Easter.
Yeah.
Which I felt exactly the same this year. Advent was so short this year.
Yes, it was.
And now Christmas was short, and now it's like, okay, can I breathe? No, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What are you looking forward to coming up with Lent and Easter?
What am I looking forward to? I mean, I always look forward to Lent, not as much as Advent, but I do look forward to Lent. And I really enjoy all the stations of the cross. We try to hit some of those as a family. Mm-hmm. And
beautiful devotion.
Yeah, it really is.
Father Mike's favorites, I think, too, if I'm not mistaken.
It really is. And my kids really enjoy them. One of them, during adoration, prays the stations, like, they'll go around, you know, in the back of the church. So it's a good reminder of what we should be doing all year round anyway. But you really work on what you need to be, how you need to be growing spiritually. And it's a good reminder for parents. So what we should be instilling in our kids, because you really see it during Lent. Like, all right, we're going to buckle down. We're going to, you know, work on some things spiritually. And they kind of balk at first. But you're like, we need to really be doing this all year round. But it's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, and I always look forward to the extra penance, because, again, we're supposed to be doing at least a little bit of penance year-round. Every Friday should be a little day of penance.
Yes, little Lents all year-round, yep.
But I always forget about it, or I don't forget about it, or if I do remember, okay, it's just fine, I won't eat meat on Friday, and it's not a big deal,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, taking it seriously, like, this world is going to end, and as much energy as I put into making good food... which I'm a foodie. I like cooking, right? That's going to be done at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be with God forever in heaven, like we were talking about earlier with Martha and Mary. And Lent is a reminder that, oh no, cut that out. Oh, you really like making fancy craft beers? Well, give it up.
Yep.
Because it's not going to last forever. Even if there is beer in heaven, it's not going to be work to make it.
Yep.
And you're not going to enjoy it the same way. It's going to be better. It's going to be different. Which is weird to think about, but I need to think about it because I'm not living for this world.
Right.
And I also always, I don't look forward to the penance because it's going to help me lose the winter weight, but I do appreciate the fact that it's kind of getting my life back into order in this way. Like over Christmas and all of the holidays, it's great to celebrate and to be with family members and to eat the extra food, right? Mm-hmm. But then that can't be the order of my whole life. And now, hold on, I've been doing this for a month and I haven't stepped on a scale in a while. I don't want to think about it.
Right.
All right, let's get back to a different order of life and bring back that discipline that, all right, I need to make sure that my body is ready to serve the Lord, to yes. get up early in the morning and make it to Mass in time.
Yep.
I'm strong enough to go out and do the sick calls at 2 o'clock in the morning and all these other sorts of things. It's good. It's good to have that order and to bring our lives constantly through all the different seasons, right? It's good to celebrate. It's good to be with Christ and to give thanks to God for Jesus becoming flesh at Christmas, and mm-hmm. it's good to recognize that my flesh isn't going to make it forever, and so I need to do some discipline and some fasting to get ready for Easter and to bring that order, that whole, like you said, we're supposed to be doing all of these things all the time year round, but we can't keep all of that focus. We get distracted.
Right.
Let's focus on this part for this season. Let's focus on taking a breather and just praying and doing normal everyday things for a little while here in January before we get to Lent in February.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then it's more, I feel more peaceful when I'm, you know, everything's in order, and it doesn't always stay that way. But, no. So I do look forward to like the peace that it brings me, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Putting forth the effort.
That's right. So one last thing, funny reflection, is that Valentine's Day is Ash Wednesday this year.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
So date night is going to be going to Mass and remembering that both you and your husband are dust.
Yep, that's
and
right.
And to dust you shall return.
No, we'll return, yep.
And that till death do us part.
That's right. It's very appropriate, really.
I think so. It's always something that I think about in my wedding homilies. That there's going to come a day when your love is supposed to grow together in your marriage throughout all of your life. You don't love each other the most on your wedding day. You're supposed to practice loving each other more and more until it's too big. You can no longer love each other enough in this life because of our weakness and limitation in this life. But in heaven, you can keep growing in that love forever.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, we were just having this conversation the other day as a family. I don't know, we were talking about something, I don't know, off topic, and I was telling my kids, I'm like, well, I actually love your dad more today than on the wedding day. And they were just like, what? Like, they did not know what to think about that.
Yeah. And it's good. It's supposed to be how it works. My parents just celebrated their 35th anniversary. And it's been, from my perspective as their kid, watching them grow and know each other better now than they did when mm-hmm. I was younger, and seeing that they disagree with each other differently now. And better.
Yeah.
Like, they work through disagreements better now because they know each other better now than they did 35 years ago when I wasn't quite born yet, pretty soon after that. But it all ends. It all comes to a Valentine's Day of Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Where we're dust. We return to dust, and all of that work bears fruit in eternal life because God has chosen to love this weak human flesh of dust that he created.
That's right, thankfully.
So, that's a fun thing to look forward to. God gives order to our time, and even though this life ends and we can't get it all together perfectly in this life, he's got an eternity waiting for us in heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that actually all made sense together, but hopefully it was some good stuff. Thank you so much, Taryn, for
joining
the podcast.
Me.
It's been fun talking to you, and I just want to reach out to all of you parishioners listening. Continue to treat all of our employees with patience and with gratitude for the hard work that they do. I know a lot of times, actually, it's difficult because, oh, I wanted this and it wasn't there. Oh, this thing happened. But, you know, none of us really know. I was joking earlier that Tara knows everything that's going on. But of course, that's never actually the case with any of us at the time. And we're working hard to make this happen. And it's all something that we're working together, right? This is all one family of parishes, and we're all in this together. And all of us need to have a great spirit of patience and prayer and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ to get through the difficult times.
Absolutely.
And so please keep all of our employees in your prayers. Please let's work and pray with each other in kindness and charity, even if it's difficult sometimes. And thank you all for listening. Any last words, Taryn?
I don't think so.
All right, wonderful. God bless.